Thank you so much. It's been a joy to be here, and coming in a little late tonight. Let me explain what happened. I'm kind of ashamed to admit this, but I believe I'm among friends. Well, let's try this again. I believe I'm among friends. Thank you. You're about to make me cry. But my brother Sherman now took me out to eat, and we got back to the room about 6:30. I said, "Now I'm going to follow you." He said, "Yeah, you follow me." So I'm following this brown or tan looking Buick, and my phone rings. And I reached in there to get my phone and find it and talk a little bit. And I look up, and that brown Buick was still in front of me. And when we turned on 40 and got to Hickory, I said, "Man, I followed the wrong brown car." So I get out my iPad to make sure my directions are in there. I whip her around, brother. And what's so fun about it, we talked about that first time he went to Taylorsville. He didn't know where it was, and he followed his car. And I said, "Suppose you followed the wrong car." He said, "I wouldn't have got there." And then dumb Joe follows the wrong car and don't get here. But I'm glad to be here tonight, thank God. And I've enjoyed being with you. I've not said much about it, but this is the last night, and over here on this pew here, I have two of our latest books we've written, and we'd love to get you hooked up with the last one, especially 325 pages hardbound book on Hebrews 11, where we go through that entire chapter and preach in all those characters there, and a book on faith. And then I have a music CD. I used to sing years ago, before I started preaching like a holy roller, amen. And I did an old-fashioned music CD in memory of my daddy and Billy Kelly and put them old camp meeting songs on there. And so if you'd like to have some of our material, see me at the end of the service. And I can tell you up front tonight, my wife would appreciate it. She's been hungry. She needs a new Lexus. Well, it worked for that fella on TV. I thought I'd give it a try. I seen one of them TV preachers one day start crying and raise $9 million. I thought I'll try that, amen. Now, you don't want to miss tomorrow night and Sunday night, Brother Doug Cox from Be Here. And brother, he's a preacher. He's a stem winder. And then on Monday and Tuesday of next week, brother, and Wednesday next week, Brother Eddie Davis, one of the finest preachers you'll ever hear. I believe he's very sincere about what he does. And so praise God. You tell him that the doctor made such a mess that you have to bring in five guys to clean it up. Amen. But thank you for putting up with me, and I love you folks, and I trust you'll pray for us along the way. The book of John tonight, as we stand together, chapter number 11. John chapter number 11, I want to read just one verse, verse number 28. There's a little phrase in this verse that I want to build the message around tonight. Again, thank you so much for allowing me to come and be a part of the camp meeting. I told Brother Scott today, I really mean this, I know these are discouraging times in which we live. And a lot of people, a lot of Baptist people, wouldn't be caught dead in a place like this. I moderate the Greer Camp meeting since Brother Billy died the last 18 years. Been trying to keep that meeting going. And there are some people, they ain't going to camp meeting. I'm telling you, if Paul preached this meeting, they're not coming. I mean, the angels could sing and the choir and John the Baptist with a brand new head could preach. And they ain't a coming. But I believe with the way the churches are going today and the way mainstream religion is going today, that I believe our last hope to preserve old-time religion for the next generation is in the camp meetings. And so let's pray we can keep these old-timey meetings going. And this year, Greer will be 68 years old. And I won't live to see it, but I would love to see maybe my son or somebody even younger than him, man, one day stand and welcome everybody to the 100th anniversary of the camp meeting. Wouldn't that be awesome? I believe this meeting's 56 years old, you said. And that young fellow right there, wouldn't it be awesome when he'll grow up be an old man one day and stand up and say, welcome to the 100th anniversary of Burke County Baptist Camp Meeting. Because I'll tell you, buddy, I believe God is still in the old-time religion business. And I'm like you. I think I'm going to do it again. I'm not ashamed. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Brother Billy Kelly one time was eating at Shoney's, and he said the blessing over his food. This woman come up there and said, what are you doing? He said, you're looking down in your food. He said, I'm praying. She said, is it sick? He said, no, but if I don't pray over it, bless God, I might be. Amen. And I'm glad it's all right to publicly pray in Jesus' name. Yeah. Turn around to somebody and say, hallelujah, I'm so saved, it's pitiful, praise God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. I feel good in my soul. John chapter number 11, verse number 28. John 11, 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, and say this line out loud with me, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Let's do that again. The Master is come and calleth for thee. You may be seated tonight, and by the help of the Lord, I want to preach a message from this passage, and I want to use that phrase as the title tonight. The Master is come and calleth for thee. This, along with other scriptures, prove to us tonight that Jesus is a personal Savior. I'm glad tonight that He saves, He loves, He deals with us on a one-on-one situation. I'm glad the Bible said, for God so loved the world. I'm glad Paul said that he loved the church. But I'm glad his love is a individual, a personal experience. And I'm glad Jesus cares about his own tonight. We come to this passage in Jesus is in a little village, healing, saving, delivering, doing what he does best. But over in the next village, a little place called Bethany, about a mile and a half southwest of the capital city of Jerusalem, is a little house where lives a man and his two sisters, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Now, I do not know how old they are. I do know they're seemingly old enough where the parents are not mentioned, but yet a husband or some wives are not mentioned. I've often thought, was it an old bachelor trying to live with two old maids? I don't know what it was. But there's one thing we do know about Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, and that is they had an insatiable love for Jesus Christ. And oftentimes in the journey of Jesus, as he would go through the village of Bethany, he would stop in the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. He would eat at their table. He would live in their home. He would spend countless hours personally fellowshipping with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Someone asked me not long ago, they said, why do you think that Jesus spent so much time in that house? Probably because they made him welcome. Probably because he knew they wanted him there. That leads me to say this, you'll be surprised at the churches and the homes and the families and the Sunday morning services and the Sunday night services that Jesus would often come to if we would make him welcome. We put it out on our church marquee one time. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. It made one of the local pastors mad. So next Sunday we put it on both sides of the sign. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Because anytime God wants to take over, where I'm trying to scratch around, he is more than welcome. And so Jesus loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And not only did they know Jesus loved them, evidently all of the village of Bethany knew that Jesus loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And so in our text tonight, Jesus is about a two-day journey from this village. And all of a sudden, Lazarus, the Bible said, whom Jesus loved, is sick and unto death. And so they send a message to Jesus about a two-day journey. Lazarus is sick. But the Bible said that Jesus abode two more days in the place where he was. He did not get in a hurry. You say, why is that? Well, when you're the great physician, you don't have to. And then if your patient dies before you get there, when you're also the resurrection and the life, you really don't know any kind of emergency. And Jesus stayed where he was. And then 2 days later, Jesus looks at the disciples and said, now let's go and see Lazarus. And it could only happen in a bunch of Baptist disciples. One of them said, Jesus, if Lazarus is sick and he's getting some rest, just let him alone. And he said, no, Lazarus is dead. And those disciples are scratching their head. They're trying to figure out what Jesus is doing. And I just want to tell them, boys, if you are shut up and follow Jesus, you're about to see one of the greatest manifestations of the glory of God you've ever seen in your life. And so Jesus makes with his disciples now a two-day journey. And by the time he gets to Bethany, they are 4 days into this ordeal. Well, Jesus doesn't even make it inside of the village. Right outside of the gate, here comes sister number one, a woman by the name of Martha. Now let me say this, every family, every home, every church needs a Martha. You say, why is that? Well, while the rest of the church prays about it, Martha gets it done whether God is in it or not. And I tell you what I love about Martha. She'll get in your face if she don't think you ain't a getting it done. And so here comes Martha, and she runs up to Jesus. Now listen, what she says is right. Now her attitude is wrong. Her posture is wrong. Her position is wrong. But what she says is right. She says to Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Now, she is right about that because you can't die around resurrection. I'm telling you, an undertaker's worst nightmare was for Jesus to come to one of his services. Because if Jesus ever went to a funeral, it ceased to be a funeral and it turned into a resurrection. And what she says is right. But her attitude is wrong. Her posture is wrong. If you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says to Mary, listen to me. Your brother is going to live again. Now let me just say this. When you are praying, if it helps you pray to quote scripture, then by all means do whatever it takes to help you pray. But if you're quoting scripture to try to remind God of what he just wrote in the Bible, he remembers. And Martha goes to quoting scripture. She says, I know my brother's gonna live again in the last day, in the great resurrection. And Jesus said, Martha, read my lips. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, I believe Martha knew more about the Lord than we give her credit for. Because she looks in the eyes of Jesus. And it dawns on Martha. Every time Jesus has been in that house, There's always been Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But now all of a sudden, Lazarus is dead and in the grave. Mary's off in a weeping place. And there stands Martha all by herself. I believe she could look in the eyes of Jesus. I believe she knew he was wondering where that other sister is. Jesus never said a word, but he just looked at her. And I believe she looked in the eyes of Jesus and she realized, I'm here. Lazarus is in the grave, but Mary's not here. Mary was always at the feet of Jesus. And I believe Martha knew that Jesus wanted to know where Mary was. And the Bible said she left Jesus at that place where he was and went into that house where Mary had been weeping her heart out for the last 4 days. She runs into that room. She taps Mary on the shoulder. Mary looks up at her with tear-dimmed eyes. And Martha says to her, the best news that Mary has heard in a long time. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Lord, young'uns, I believe when she said that first phrase, the Master. Honey, I believe that was enough. Because Mary knew who she was talking about. And can I just tell you tonight, he is the Master. He is the Master. He is not a master. He is not some master. He is not one of the many masters. He is the Master. He's the Master God. He's the Master King. He's the Master Shepherd. He's the Master Jesus. He's the Master Savior. He's the Master of your life. He's the Master of your circumstances. He's the Master of your storm. He's the Master of your steps. He is the Master. He's King of every king. He's Lord of every Lord. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's better than the best. There's nobody like him. Nobody can compare to him. He's on the throne. He's got the reins in his hand. And he is the Master. And when it can't get any better, she said, and that ain't all. He's come. He's here. Aren't you glad when we couldn't go to where he was, he came to where we were? The Master has come. And when it can't get any better, she said, and that ain't all. He's a calling. He's a calling. He is interested. He is aware. He's got something in mind. And aren't you glad he is the calling master? He is the one that beckons for our attention, glory. He is the one that is interested in the affairs of our life. He is the one that's got something for you and I tonight. And just when it can't get any better, she said, and that ain't all. The Master's come and he calleth for thee. He calleth for thee. He calleth for thee. Mary, he's got you on his mind. He's got you on his heart. His name is on your his lips. He calleth for thee. Shall I believe Mary tore out of there? She ran to where Jesus was because it was a great day when she learned he was the Master. He had come. He was calling and he was calling for her. I said all that to say this. I've come to tell some child of God tonight, you may be discouraged. You may be confused. You may be bewildered. You may be depressed. You may feel like nobody cares. But I've come to tell you, I talked to him on the way down here, following two brown Buicks. And he wanted me to tell you, the Master's come. The Master's come. The Master's come. Whatever you need is tonight, he's the Master of it. Whatever your valley is tonight, he's the Master of it. Whatever your storm is tonight, he's the Master of it. The Master's come. And he calleth, and he calls for you, and he calls for me. He's interested in us. He cares about us. He's got something he wants to say to us. The Master's come, and he calleth for thee. Mary runs up there and falls down before him. And she says the same thing that Martha said. But her attitude is different. Her position is different. Her posture is different. Martha said it like she's accusing him. Mary is saying it like she wants him. Oh, Martha's up in his face, but Mary's down at his feet. And what a difference it makes when you go from accusing God to worshiping God. When you go to demanding God and pleading with God. I heard a radio preacher the other day say that word ask means to command, to order. He said you need to command God. You need to order God. Now you look up at me. I'm dumb, but I ain't stupid. Who ever heard of a private ordering around a captain? Who ever heard of a servant ordering around a master? Who ever heard of a sheep ordering a shepherd? Who ever heard of a peasant ordering a king? Let me say, he does the ordering. He does the commanding. He's the king. He's the father. He's the Lord. He's the shepherd. We don't command him. We don't demand him. We beseech him. We implore him. We beg him. Tonight, why don't you get out of his face in accusation and fall down at his feet in desperation, because he told me to tell you the master's come and he calleth for thee. I'm having so much fun. I'm going to go to my van and get my cell phone and tell Eddie Davis to stay at the house. I'm going to stay next week. The master's come and he calleth for thee. In John chapter number 11 tonight, there are three things Jesus wanted them to know. And I believe those same three things he wants everybody in this congregation to know. Are you ready? Write it down. Number one, when he came and called for them, he wanted them to know, I'm not late. It's 4 days for Lazarus. It's 4 days for Martha. It's 4 days for Mary. It's 4 days for the Jews. But oh, he's right on time. He's right on time. The disciples think he's late. The Jews think he's late. The Pharisees think he's late. Martha and Mary think he's late. But can I remind you, he's never been late. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. May I present to you tonight that God's delays are not God's denials. His ways are not our ways. He doesn't operate by our clock. He doesn't operate by our calendar. He doesn't operate by our almanac. He does not read Dear Abby. He does not consult the stars. He does not have a horoscope. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is almighty. Who knows the end before the beginning ever gets cranked up? Let me say to Martha, let me say to Mary, he heard the request days ago. He felt your pain days ago. You touched his heart days ago. And he ain't a coming when you think he ought to, but he is a coming. He's headed in your direction. He's taking his time. He's taking a little detour. He will be here. I need to tell somebody under this tabernacle tonight, hey, he still loves you. You're still his child. You say, I can't feel God. I can't sense God. I can't find God. Where is God at in my life? Let me tell you where he's at. He's where he always has been, at home, on the throne, and still in business, and just in time, on time, like God does all the time. Woo! Just when you need him most, he'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be there. Let me remind you tonight, he is not late. I was reading this the other day and I didn't know it. That day the Jews were very superstitious people. Sounds like Baptists to me. Superstitions is like they always have been. Nobody ain't never done it. Somebody just think they can. And the Jews had a superstition that if somebody died, if you could get to them within 3 days, you just might be able to pray a prayer that could evoke that spirit back in that body and they might get up from the dead. Now, like all superstitions, ain't nobody ever done it, but they thought you just might could. But on the other side of the superstition is this. When day four starts, corruption set in, no hope. Don't care who prayed, how long they prayed, how holy they prayed. If it was that fourth day, too late, it was absolutely impossible. Now, if Jesus would have went on day one, somebody would have said, hallelujah, it was my prayers that got Lazarus up. If he'd have went on day two, some flaming evangelist would have said, amen, bless God, I preached him out of there. If he'd have waited on day number three, went day number three, some Pharisee would have said, bless God, it's my convictions that got him up. But he waited till that fourth day. When nobody knew how to pray. You can't pray him out. You can't preach him out. You can't tithe him out. You can't live him out. He's physically, clinically graveyard. And according to Martha, not just dead, but stinking dead. No hope. The Levite can't help him. And the priest can't help him. Herod can't help him. Pilate can't help him. Nobody can help him. It is a total hopeless situation. But oh, aren't you glad, glory to God, whoop, when it's day four in our life. When it's day four in our life. Oh, Lord. When it's day four in our life. My God, and we done prayed and we can't think of nothing to pray. And we done worried and there's nowhere else to worry. And we pushed and we pulled and we pumped and we primed. I mean, we have exhausted every resource at our fingertips. And we say, just forget it. It can't happen. It's no way it can happen. For when man washes his hands in the water of futility, that's when God steps in and rolls up his sleeve and bears his holy arm. You say, Brother Joe, what in the world is God doing in my life? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, he is sovereignly, he is providentially arranging circumstances in your life that you can't fix and you can't change. But when he fixes it and when he changes it, he and he alone get all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. By God, I want to tell you, when Lazarus walked out of that tomb, it was no doubt who did it. Martha didn't do it. Mary didn't do it. Lazarus didn't do it. The Jews didn't do it. But the Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, woo! He did it. He's the only one that can do it. He wanted them to know, I'm not late. Someone said, are you a very patient man? Are you kidding? I quit school because they had recess. I can burn down a forest while most people are looking for a match. I want it done yesterday. And the people that associate with me have great patience because I can whir the horns off of the devil. Can I get an amen right now? You're not saved by works. And I believe God will reward you for it. And I believe when we get to heaven, my wife is going to have a white puffy cloud with her name on it just for putting up with me. I make coffee nervous. Jell-O trembles in my presence. Tom Hayes told me one time, he said, Joe, I love you, but my soul, you get on my nerves. Dr. David Gibbs told me I was like Lester Roloff on steroids. But I can't help it, man. So many people's on Ritalin. Somebody needs to get something going here. Boy, it's hard for me to take my hands off. I got plan B before plan A don't even work. I said to my wife the other day, I said, I got a plan B. She said, knowing you, you got A through Z. Boy, I feel like if I can just get my hands on it, if I can just put my 2 cents worth in, boy, if I can just kick something in, I believe I can change a thing. But boy, there's times I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to preach. I didn't know how to trust. There wasn't anything I could do but wait on God. But I found out something. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen to this tonight. Any soul that has ever waited on the Nazarene has not been denied nor disappointed. When pains of death seized on my soul, until the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole, I will not be denied. Hey, he's headed your way. He's heard your prayer. He's felt your sorrow. He's aware of your need. And he told me to tell you, he ain't late. He's not late. He's not late. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Woo! He's never been a day late, nor a dollar short. Glory. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin on time. He was born in the manger of Bethlehem on time. He confounded the doctors and the lawyers in the temple at 12 on time. Baptized in Jordan on time. Anointed with the Holy Ghost on time. Tempted of the devil and won the victory on time. Cleansed the leper. Raised the dead. Straightened out the crippled. Open the eyes of the blind on time. Comforted the lonely. Befriended the sinner. Bled to death at Calvary on time. Cause when the fullness of time had come on time, he cried on time, just in time, it's finished. Arose from the dead on time. Appeared to the disciples on time. Clutched a double cloud to glory on time. Marched around the throne on time. Put his blood on the mercy seat on time. Sat down at the right hand of God the Father on time. Sent the Holy Ghost on time. Wrote the Bible on time. Got you the gospel on time. Saved your soul on time. Kept you from going to hell on time. Reached further down than you could reach up on time. Picked you up out of the bottom of clay of sin on time. Met your need on time. Answered your prayer on time. Stilled your storm on time. And he's going to stand up on time. He'll blow the trumpet on time. He's coming back on time. And come get his bride on time. Take us to glory on time. Where there'll be no time. Where we'll have a big old time. I'm here to tell you, he's on time. He's on time. He's not late. He's not late. He's not late. The master's come. Woo! And he calleth for thee. He told me to come and tell you, no matter how bad it looks, hurts, sounds, tastes, smells, or feel, hang on. Yeah. Help is on the way. Amen. Amen. And Can I remind you? When he makes up his mind he's a coming, you ain't going to stop him. You think you can? Well, you're going to use to stop him. You try water, he'll walk on it. You try fire, he'll walk around in it. You try to lock him out, he'll walk through the door and won't even ring the doorbell. Nail him to a cross, he'll bleed on it and render it powerless. God, I want to run so bad. Amen, Sister Slide over just a little bit. Here I go. Woo! Set him in a tomb. 3 days later, he'll knock the lid off and come out on the other side and say, I'm alive forevermore. Sick the devil on him. He'll pull him down Main Street and beat the devil out of him and triumph over him. Angels can't stop him. Demons can't stop him. You can't stop him. I can't stop him. The devil can't stop him. He's on time. He's not late. He's not forgot you. He's not forsaken you. He will not fail you. He's on the way. Woo! And he's waiting. When he finally gets there, you'll be so glad to see him. All you'll be able to say is, hallelujah! I got some more points, but I'm enjoying that one right there real good. The master has come, he called for thee. He wanted them to know, I'm not late. Number two, write this down. He wanted them to know, I've not lost touch. Amen. Let me back up and say this. If the devil back then was like he is tonight, can you imagine what he told Martha and Mary? Well, you don't mean nothing to the Lord. Why, if you meant anything to Jesus, it wouldn't have turned out like this. You know all them meals you cooked for Jesus and all them good works you did for Jesus. I tried to tell you, it was in vain. Why, if the Lord appreciated you and all that, number one, your brother wouldn't have got sick to start with. Number two, if the Lord really loved you, surely he wouldn't have died. And number three, if you really meant anything to the Lord, he'd have come running that first time you called for him. I tried to tell you it wasn't real. I tried to tell you it's all in vain. You don't mean a thing to him. You say, preacher, what gives you the nerve to think the devil or talk to somebody like that? He's tried that on me a time or two. You say, well, he never told me nothing like that. You ain't never had a youngin' get stupid. Let's be honest, how many of us ever had a young'un get stupid? If you've ever had a young'un, they got stupid somewhere. I'm telling you right now, you can put them little suckers in bed one night and they are normal human beings, and somewhere between the night and the morning, they drunk a can of stupid. Oh, brother, you mean my Johnny? Yeah, your Johnny and your sissy. You say girls are not as mean as boys. I know, but they're just plain old sneaky. They asked my son Bubba one time when he's 14 years old, son, you got a girlfriend? He said, no, I got a sister. I said, Joanna, if you don't change, you're going to turn him against the whole female race, baby. I ain't never had the devil mess with me like that. Well, you never got sick physically. I've never heard the devil say anything to me like that. You've never been in the hospital. I heard the other day that there were people who are not sick. They just like being in the hospital. You look up here at me. If you like being in the hospital and you ain't sick, you're sick. They got a special floor. And what I hear in your town, they got a whole place for you. Woo! I hated being in the hospital. I hated it. Number one, it's the coldest place. If you, let me tell you, if what you've got don't kill you, you can catch pneumonia. And I'm telling you up front, that little thing they give you to wear, Christians ought not to dress like that. I'm telling you, it ain't got no back in it. Now, I'll tell you something else, all in medical terms, I don't know where they got them from, but I know where they got that ICU from. Yeah. You put one of them gowns on and turn around and somebody's going to go, I see you. And my own day submits, Pastor Moneyham. They don't care if you're a Dr. Arthur, pastor of Harvest in a National Baptist Tabernacle. They'll put that little thing on you, stick you in a wheelchair, roll you out front, bless God, like a Walmart greeter for the whole world to see. Man, I'm up there doing all this. Other fellow come by me doing it too. I said, sir, I'm sorry. He said, me too. I just come to check the air conditioner. He wasn't even a patient. Now, how many just had that experience? Lord, brother, it wasn't that funny. You're crying. God bless you. God help this man. But I'll tell you what's worse than that. Somebody went and told the devil what room I was in. And he'd go to hell and get him a bunch of reinforcements. And every night when my little wife and family would leave, here he'd come with all his little buddies, parade around my bed and say, shout now, big boy. Preach one now, Mr. Camp Meeting. Mr. Exhorter, Mr. Encourager, give your life to encourage preachers and preach camp meetings and stir up churches. You know, rip one off now, big boy. Let's see how loud you can shout now, big boy. I stop you here. You'll never sing again. You'll never shout again. You'll never preach again. You are done. And I'm telling you, if you listen to that long enough, he'll run you slap crazy. You know the devil is more confused about it than you are. See if this doesn't sound familiar. Before you get saved, he tells you you're okay and don't need to be saved. And then you get saved and he tries to tell you that you ain't. I'm telling you, he's more confused about it than anybody else. He's a liar. He's an aggravator. He's our foe. He's our adversary. But I'm glad, bless God, there's one coming down the road. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Martha and Mary feel like the Lord has lost touch. But oh no, he hadn't. Mary comes running out there, falls at his feet. Woo! And she goes to crying. By the way, it's okay to cry. By the way, tears are not a sign of weakness. They're a sign of you can't help it. They're a sign you need him. And tears are a language. And God understands. You say, preacher, I spent some nights crying and nobody knew it, nobody cared. Wrong again. Because standing right up there at the foot of your bed was a sympathizing Savior. And he had a Holy Ghost tear bottle. And he caught every one of them. And he's got them in his bottle. Amen. Glory to God, and one day when we get to glory, God will wipe all the tears away. He'll say, remember this one? Gone. Remember that one? Gone. Remember this one? Gone, 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 gone and gone and gone. I mean to tell you, he ain't lost touch. He's still tender. He's still accessible. Thank good God Almighty, he still cares. He's not lost time. Woo! Mary, She's at the feet of Jesus. Boy, she's just crying. Boy, she's just crying. And I'm glad tears touch God. Tears touch me. They touch you too. I can see people crying and I don't even know. And I'll start. I fly to a lot of my far off meetings. I flew 23,000 sky miles for April, and I'm in the airports a lot. And ever since this war on terror, every week I see boys and girls going and coming from places of danger. And them soldier boys and girls got on them uniforms. And there stands her mama and her daddy and grandparents, maybe husband and wife and some kids. I don't even know them, but they all just are squalling. And here I go. I just squall too. I can't help it. I was flying out of Baltimore, Maryland the other day, and I saw a soldier about 30, 35 years old. His wife was there, and he had three little stepladder children. I never seen nobody do this, Brother Scott. He stopped at that wife and got her by the hand and got on his knees in front of her and kissed her hand and led her in a word of prayer. And he went to every one of them kids one-on-one and kissed her hand and led them in a word of prayer. Boy, they stood in a little old circle, a little squalling and a praying. Here I stand, I don't even know them. I'm just a squalling. I can't help it. Man, I was coming up the escalator the other day to Concourse A. Man, I got to the top. People started screaming, throwing balloons. And I thought, boy, somebody's glad to see me. Whoo! It wasn't me. It's two soldier boys behind me. And Lord, people got to squalling and a hugging one another. And before I knowed it, some woman I don't even know come over there and hug me. You say, Brother Joe, what did you do? I done the Christian thing and hugged her back. Hey, man. All right, she was old enough to be my mama. I think it's all right. I said all that to say this. I'm a heathen. I'm cold-hearted. About half backslid. But if somebody's tears touch me, oh God, hallelujah, how much more does it touch the heart of a perfect, holy, sympathizing, compassionate Savior? I'm telling you, he's not lost touch. Woo! And there's Mary. Boy, she's just a squalling. I mean, the tears have puddled up so much. She's got enough to wash the feet of Jesus with them. Takes her hair, starts washing his feet with her tears. Boy, about that time, glory to God, about that time, Mary hears something. And about that time, she felt something hit the side of her face. And she looked down and it's puddling up on her hands. And she looks up. And not only she cried, but Jesus is a crying. And his tears are running down her tears. And her tears, glory to God, got to mingling with his tears. I'm about to get into cotton. And his tears got to mingling with her tears. And her tears, glory, got to mingling with his tears. And glory to God, just let me tell you, when your tears go to mingling with the Master's tears, hey, glory, it ain't going to be long, baby, till your Lazarus is going to get up and walk around on resurrection ground. He ain't lost touch. He's not lost touch. We still have a great high priest that can be touched. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen. He's not lost touch. He's not late. Number three, and I'm done. He wanted them to know I'm not limited. Jesus looks over that Mary and said, "Where have you laid him?" And only in Martha fashion, only Martha would do this. Jesus, don't do that. I know what you're thinking. You're going to go over and roll that stone away, ain't you? And don't do that. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. He's a dead. He stinks. And if you open that tomb, the awfulest smell is going to come out of there.
Amen.
And I want to tell Martha, honey, there's enough fragrance in that rose of Sharon and that lily of the valley to cover any stink. You're the devil's God. And I just need to tell somebody, you say, Brother Joe, life stinks right now. My family stinks. I stink. My situation stinks. The whole world stinks. Everything just absolutely stinks. My whole world stinks. Well, I got news for you. There's a lily and there's a rose walking down Bethany Boulevard. He's about to walk through that door and come by your tomb and smell up your place a little while. I want to tell you, he's not limited. Roll away the stone. And they rolled her away. And Jesus goes to the mouth of that cave. Lazarus! I asked my daddy one time, I said, why did he say Lazarus? He said, daddy said, son, if he'd have just said come forth, every dead person in the world would have walked out. And he said, he's going to do that one day. But right then he just wanted Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. And he who was bound from head to foot, and he couldn't even see where he's going because he got a napkin over his face. Well, how did he get out? I'm trying to tell you, he ain't limited. I got to hurry, but I'm having such a good time. I'll try to hurry. But just let me ask you this. Have you ever really studied this passage and seen what Jesus is not limited by? He's not limited by sickness. He's not limited by disease. He's not limited by death. He's not limited by corruption. He's not limited by graves or grave clothes or stink. He's not limited by caves or graves or big old stones.
Amen.
He ain't even limited by nitpickers and amen. He ain't limited. They ain't nothing you can limit him with. The only possibility of limitation was whether they'd roll that stone away or not. I'm just telling you somehow tonight, if you'll just roll away that stone, glory to God, he'll do the rest. He'll do the rest. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. You say, where did he go? He went to chapter 12. Well, how you know he went to chapter number 12? Because he was in chapter number 11. And 12 comes after 11. You got to be smart to come up with that. But it's more than a number. Notice what they got in 12. There's a table. There's a supper. There's a celebration. See, chapter number 11, he's in the tomb. Now he's at the table. Chapter number 11, they are crying. Chapter 12, they're celebrating. Chapter 11, he's at the sepulcher, but in chapter 12, they're having supper. Hello, 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 hello. Chapter 11, he's dead. Chapter 12, he's on display. Amen. Chapter number 11, they're having pity parties. Chapter number 12, they're having shouting parties. They're having a celebration. Who are they celebrating? Well, number one, they in Simon, the ex-leper's house. What are they celebrating? He ain't a leper no more. Martha and Mary, weeping sisters. What are they celebrating? They're not weeping sisters anymore. Lazarus, the ex-dead man. What are they celebrating? He ain't dead no more. Lord God, somebody help me. But they're not celebrating Lazarus. They're not celebrating Simon. They're not celebrating Martha and Mary. Who are they celebrating? Lord God, young'uns, they're celebrating the man at the head of the table that cleansed the leper and raised the dead and dried the tears. I want to tell you, boy, we're going to the table. We're going to supper. We're going to celebration where there'll be no sickness and there'll be no sorrow and there'll be no death. It's shouting time on the other side, because one day the Savior is really going to come and he's going to call for us. Hallelujah. He's not late. He's not lost to us. And he's not limited. Standing somewhere in the shadows, he's there. And he's there for you. Let's stand together. Glory. Hallelujah. I may have enjoyed it and met her somewhere, but right now, I just had myself a time. I still got a Jesus bump about that big between my shoulder blades. I ain't finished, but I'm wore out. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He's on the way. I've not been stranded nor abandoned. He's heard my cry. He knows my sorrow. And just when I need him most, he'll be there. Won't you get out of his face and quit accusing him? And get down to his feet and go to thanking him and blessing him. He'll work it out. He'll do it. He'll do right by you. He's God. He just does it. Will you trust him tonight? Amen. Pastor, you come. Brother, we'll sing together tonight. Altars is open. Won't you just come and say, Lord, until you come, I'm going to praise you. Amen. Until you fix it, I'm going to trust you. Amen. God, I got you, and that's enough. Hallelujah. People are coming. Just mind the Lord. Thank you, my brother. Hallelujah.